You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's Live Talk. I'm your host, Keith Martin. Today, we'll be speaking with Julie Cooksa, Deputy Sheriff and American Correctional Association Accreditation Manager for the DuPage County Sheriff's Office in Wheaton, Illinois. Julie has been with the Sheriff's Office since 1986, with responsibilities as a dispatcher, field training officer, and the first female officer to be active on the Correctional Emergency Response Team. She has assisted the Sheriff's Office to achieve their accreditation with the Commission of Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies and also with the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare. The DuPage County Sheriff's Office is one of the few to achieve the Triple Crown Award involving accreditation with these associations as well as the American Correctional Association. In 1998, she became the ACA Accreditation Manager and developed contests and creative teaching methods that were instrumental in maintaining staff interest and enthusiasm in the accreditation effort. She brought a new and exciting meaning to the staff that the accreditation process is a daily effort and that they can make a difference in their profession. In 2000, Julie received the Correctional Accreditation Manager of the Year Award from the Correctional Accreditation Managers Association, or CAMA, and has continued to bring a fresh and exciting approach in encouraging others through accreditation. Today, Julie will share her experiences with us as we discuss staff morale in corrections. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Julie.
Thank you, Keith.
Excellent. To start our conversation, why don't you define for our audience the term staff morale?
Well, I'd be glad to. Well, also, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to share and encourage others in this topic and how all of us can do something to improve it. First, I'd like to set the foundation for what morale is and then identify some red flags and warning signs for administrators and others, what they can look for and to detect about poor staff morale. Morale has been looked upon as a feeling, like a state of mind, a mental attitude, and an emotional attitude. The feeling an officer has about his job is based on how they perceive themselves in the facility. Professional interests and enthusiasm an officer displays is in a given situation. A real healthy facility environment and a high officer morale tend to be related. In fact, in general, people feel empowered and they tend to have a high morale. Officers who are more personally involved and invested in their work within the facility, when they have a voice in what happens to them, in fact, and also in their work has meaning and significance and contributing to a higher purpose and goal. When things are good, officers feel like they can do anything. But you know, when morale is down, one project can seem too big to get done. You walk the post often. You look, you listen, you take nothing for granted. Like the weather outside, in fact, today. Picture on the lake and on the ocean. It can change drastically. In the space of a minute, you can see the storm coming. Like ours by now. Our biggest mistake is to ignore poor staff morale, even exist, and even to rationalize it away.
Great. Now, you mentioned some red flags that administrators can look for. What are some of those red flags?
Some of those red flags and storm warnings can be something like the obvious ones that we normally see. The increase in turnover, the frequent absences, and sick day use, the tardiness, your increase of transfers to different shifts or different divisions, the increase in accidents or injuries. You have withdrawals from participation when they normally speak at meetings and staff gatherings, and sometimes when they spend too much time on a certain task. You try to recognize the situation that can bring an officer down. You try to take time to look at their faces. Are they laughing? Keith, are they quiet at staff meetings when they try to normally contribute a lot? Are they real quiet before roll call? And do they proceed to their post real lethargically? Sometimes it seems like officers are rewarded for doing a bad job, and it shows on their faces what they think. Keith, sometimes you even look at their level of energy. Are they involved? Are they withdrawn? And then you also look at other factors contributing, like the lack of equipment, information, tools, time, resources, staff, and your general upkeep of the facility. He tried to listen to the signs of the negativity weed. All right, Keith, picture this. A giant weed. I'm sure you can probably put some faces on these weeds. First one's like an internal weed, in which officers internalize their negativity, and they become know-it-alls, and they become control freaks. Another part of it is where their negativity doesn't impact others until they break down due to the failure to vent their frustration. Okay, here comes the other weed, external weed. Doesn't look any better either. Such things like behavior can result in actions as backstabbing, the rabble-rouser, and then there, you've got the martyr. And then third, here comes the other weed, no bigger, no smaller, is a verbal weed. Keith, picture those that they can influence others. They can generate gossip. They can make cynical comments. They can state apathetic comments, which can spread like a negative weed, like crabgrass in the facility.
That's a great analogy for our audience. That's fantastic. Now, you started talking about some of the impacts of poor staff morale, but what are some others that, if your staff just doesn't have positive morale, especially in a correctional setting, what are some of those impacts?
Well, picture a giant pot on a stove. You know, you've got poor morale, and it just sits there and simmers and simmers and simmers. You've got the increase in turnover, and when turnover is unplanned, it's bad for the facility and also the reputation. You've got lack of communication. Your efficiency goes down. You've got bad management and leadership. Then your security starts to slack. And then, Keith, then you've got stuff starting with staff shortage increases. And then when you have a shortage increase, you have to spend more money on hiring new officers and then training those new officers. So stress and illness can increase due to extra effort work load that is on the other staff. Inmates who have 24 hours a day to listen and to watch for times like these, and then they make their move, which can be anywhere from stealing, fighting, or planning a hit on another inmate. And then, even the worst, is an escape from the facility.
It's a very good point, because you're right, with staff morale, your inmates are there all day, and they can take it in, and they can see what's going on in the environment around them.
Right, right.
Now, with cases like that, if you have bad staff morale in your agency, what can an agency do to increase that staff morale or boost it?
Well, that's a good question. Thanks. Identifying a moral problem is the first step towards fixing it, and there's no easy fixes or quick remedies, or it can't be fixed in one day or one week. You can do all your pizza parties and free mugs and t-shirts, but realizing that it's your responsibility to make it better and not only rely on your sheriff or warden or even the human service person, because that can be an easy way to cop out. You know, there's different things that will motivate officers at different times depending on their position and their time at the facility. You've got one officer just starting, you've got another officer that is 15 years already. There's a big difference. So you try to increase the communication and listen to develop trust. Keith, and then try to keep a balance of positive feedback and corrective guidance. You try to follow up on the suggestions made by officers, and also try to follow up on the promises made by you as administrators. Officers, you know something, they can easily see when they make a positive, constructive input, and then administration then says, yes, we'll look into it, or do something about it, but then the results end up in a dead file. And staff, in return, no longer then make suggestions. They get actively involved. They no longer take the pride in their profession, and since nobody cares, why should they? You can also try to involve staff and make them feel a part of the solution. You try to increase the quality of your training and break free from the same methods and try to get their attention and keep it. You know, training drives officers to commitment, to stay current, and offers ongoing dedication from administration that says that we care. So, Keith, just think about it. When you treat them badly, they're going to remember.
Mm.
You treat them well, they'll be loyal and they'll stick around. So you try to appreciate your staff as much as possible. Today being August 15th, actually in 1769 was Neapolitan Bolivar's, he was born today.
Oh, really?
In fact, he even said the soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon. What you go for, a little piece of thing. And you try to do what you can in small ways. You know, try to think outside the box. Look at your emails, see what you can generate, letters, notations in their reviews. Try to compliment them in front of others. Use your personnel reps, your newsletters, and whatever you decide, try to remember to follow up. You and your facility, your integrity and your reputation are on the line.
That's great advice, and nice tie-in with Napoleon's birthday. That's very good.
That's today. You know?
A very historical aspect. Yeah. That's fantastic advice. Now, if you're just joining us on Napoleon's birthday, we are discussing staff morale in corrections with Julie Cooksa, who is the Deputy Sheriff and ACA Accreditation Manager for the DuPage County Sheriff's Office in Wheaton, Illinois. Now, Julie, with that advice in mind, what are some ways that you have boosted morale in your sheriff's office, in your agency?
Oh, that's an exciting question. Thanks. I'm the accreditation manager there, and others see me as a form of accountability. You have officers and administration, they can fear that walking magnifying glass or that walking white glove. So I try to get creative with different approaches of leadership. When you look at people, they all don't learn the same style.
Right.
Or methods. You try to look back at your time in school and stuff, what really generated you, what motivated you on certain issues. And they all respond differently. So what works for one may not work for the other. What works for you may not work for the person next to you. So I try to make a goal to make the accreditation process in our facility a daily commitment and to get other officers involved within that process. When they understand and why they do the things they do and they become involved, they take more pride. They invest more of themselves into the profession. The seasoned officers from about 8 to 10 years, they can be hard to find. So I try to teach creative accreditation training. I even use Beanie Babies from my own collection. I would wrap them up and as I would go and ask questions and they would be so excited and responding, I'd hand them a Beanie Baby. Well, then you walk down the hall and they're saying, ACA stands for American Correctional Association. And they're just spitting out all these exciting facts, and then I start tying in the standards. And they're walking down the hall even saying the same thing.
That's great.
I try to give immediate, precise, and positive feedback right away in the follow-ups. Thank you letters. Another way you can do it, Keith, is try to compliment them in front of others. You know, if they're trying to get your attention, you try to reward the positive. I try to put notations in their personal reviews. I mean, I'm a deputy. You know, I don't have the senior ranking, but these are the things that I can be able to do and make a difference. I try to even use pictures and newsletter write-ups about officers and what programs we have and ways they were involved with accreditation. I try to spend time looking, listening, and then hearing during my inspections of the areas when I walk the post. I try to remember to ask questions and suggestions from the officers and other staff members, including like volunteers.
Mm.
Sometimes we forget about volunteers.
Mm.
I try to be true, sincere on my integrity and my professional reputation. If I don't have an answer, I'll find out. Or direct them to someone who will be able to assist them. So it's like when I say yes, I mean yes, and when I say no, I mean no.
That's great. And the thing I think I find most interesting is that the steps that you're recommending apply anywhere, whether it's a jail or a prison, whether it's a large state or a small county. It carries over in any location.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Mm. Or any field, yeah.
That's a good point as well, yeah. Now, another issue facing a number of correctional agencies is costs and budget. How can agencies take the steps to boost their morale in a cost-effective manner?
Well, you just look at some of the things I've just shared. I mean, the price tag has gone down from $100 to write thank you letters. I mean, those are simple things that are tangible within reach. They're short-term goals where I can be able to reach them and see the feedback, and it's tangible and it's immediate. I mean, like, you don't have to have the big pizza parties and free mugs and T-shirts, but they would help.
They would.
It makes it exciting. But you just stand back, look outside the box, see what's available, what your facility. You know, bad morale is very real.
Mm.
It's very serious and it demands good leadership. So you look at and you examine your administration staff. You try to take time on communication. You follow through. Be true to your word. And during these times right now, budget cuts, staff shortages, jail crowding, and lawsuits, we sometimes forget about that self-fulfilling prophecy that when you believe in your staff and the good job that they will do, they'll perform it for you and live up to your expectations. And I know that doesn't cost two pints of blood. But you start off with little things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you remember the gimmicks, the gadgets and the giveaways can make your recognition efforts fun and memorable, but nothing can replace that good old-fashioned, sincere look them in the eye and say, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give excuses, but expand your possibilities. And know and believe that you can make a difference, and start with one volunteer, one officer, and even one administrator. And Keith, you know, I really want to thank you very much for making a difference already by taking an interest in this subject, and know that you and I today have encouraged and helped someone somewhere with this growing concern.
Great. Well, it's an issue that definitely affects numerous agencies across this country, and I'm sure internationally. And obviously a great message to leave off today's live talk. Thank you again to Julie Cooksa of DuPage County Sheriff's Office in Wheaton, Illinois, for joining us today and discussing staff morale. Julie, thank you very much for all of your advice and insight.
Keith, thank you again. It's been enjoyable.
Thank you. And if you want to contact Julie, you can use the mailing address listed on our website. And for more information on building staff morale, make sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.